Hello and welcome to Boozy Banter with Friends.
Join us this week as we explore the supernatural
with a little sass,
the unexplained,
and a side of snark,
and tales of otherworldly shenanigans.
Grab your favorite spirit and join me, Layla,
and me, Trisha, and meet us on the other side.
Dog. Hello.
Hi.
How is it going?
Is today your musical day?
It could be.
Break out in song.
Broke out in song in a while.
You have not.
Been a little while.
Yeah.
It's like the ocean. It ebbs and flows with song. The sea.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know either. I'm like, where are you going to see the ocean ebb and flow with song?
I don't know.
Where to go? I haven't gone to the ocean in a while, but I did go to a zoo the other day.
Did you?
It only had one animal. It was a shih tzu. Oh,
goodness.
Yep. I can't believe I was able to work that one
I
in.
I was like, wow, this is so good.
Speaking of so good.
Yeah.
I brought over a special treat today.
Yes, you did. And it smells amazing.
I know. And this is like your first, it's going to be your honest opinion.
Yes.
I guess it's been, what, a couple weeks?
A couple weeks ago.
I went to Louisville and I did some distillery. I did a distillery tour, but I visited another distillery. They were all booked up though. But I purchased some goodies, and I brought some back. So I did the distillery tour at Angel's Envy, which I think we talked about.
Yeah, and a little bit.
Yeah, I finally brought the rye over for us to try.
And it smells delicious.
Yeah, and I picked up some chocolates, too. It's probably not the exact same chocolates that they have there, but it's probably close enough, so we'll just go with that.
But you said that that's how they did their tasting.
That's how they did their tasting,
with chocolate.
With chocolate. And I was like, oh.
Wow.
I mean, how nice is that?
Yeah. Now, Angel's Envy, when we went together, we never made it over there.
We couldn't get in because they were all booked up.
Yeah. They had weird hours. Remember, they didn't open until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was a little,
And it was kind of far from where we were staying.
It was
like a walk,
It was a walk. It was by the Louisville Slugger Stadium. So it was almost like catty corner there. So it was a little bit of a huffing
that
I did. But it was still, you know, it was a nice day. It was a little chilly, not too cold. So it wasn't bad. They started the rye off with some white chocolate.
Okay.
So just take a little bit.
Here?
Yeah. Okay. Just take a little bit of the white chocolate.
All right.
Let it kind of linger in your mouth a little.
So
they said,
Whole piece of chocolate. Don't just like take a bite and take a sip.
Yeah. Like, just kind of like let it melt a little in your mouth.
Okay.
Let's chuck a few minutes, by the way.
Sing some elevator music. Does the Jeopardy theme immediately come to mind when somebody says elevator music? For me, it does.
Does it really? The Jeopardy?
As soon as somebody says, now we have to wait, I immediately think of the every time.
Okay, so now have a little sip of your rye.
It smells
this rye
so good.
Smells so good. Yes. Not terrible, is it?
It's almost got a spicy rum taste to it.
Yeah.
It's so smooth. It doesn't taste like of course, now we've just eaten white chocolate.
Yeah.
Which I found normally when I have any type of bourbon or whiskey, if I eat something sweet with it, it's like drinking orange juice with your pancakes. It like has that weird
oversweet.
Yeah, it doesn't
like
go
the
together.
The two sweetnesses collide.
Right.
They don't meld together.
Well, this is fantastic. Like it gives a little bit of sweetness to the rye, which then tastes spicy, but then it has that sweet taste from the chocolate.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really good.
Really good. But I think the rye would be good even on its own.
It does taste good on its own. But just having that with the chocolate was like a completely different experience.
Adds like a different layer to it.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it sweetness without the sweetness being in the drink.
Yeah. Without being like...
Right.
Forefront.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
that. But it doesn't burn going down. It's super smooth.
Really smooth.
Oh my gosh. That is so good.
Smooth taste.
I like that a lot.
It's so good.
Does it matter what kind of chocolate you have with it?
They did white chocolate with the rye, and they did like an orange chocolate with their regular bourbon.
Oh.
But I got some orange chocolate here too, so we can try it with the rye and see how it works.
Yeah.
I also got these little Majescas from, what's the distillery that I
stopped at?
Old Forester.
Mm-hmm.
I know like the Majesca is.
What is it?
A popular cookie in Louisville. Like they have different varieties of Majescas.
Okay.
This is just Old Forester's version of the Majesca, and it's like a chocolate caramel marshmallow cookie, and they have some sea salt on there. So I guess it was like bourbon caramel that they put in here.
They're really good.
You should try it. It's really good.
I'm going to try that too. I had never heard of a Majesca.
I didn't either.
Majesca?
Majescas.
Really?
I didn't either.
They're like a s'mores cookie.
But not terrible, because I don't like marshmallow.
It does. It has an entire layer of marshmallow that's as thick as the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't taste like that.
Yeah. Just another.
The sea salt on top.
Like that sea salt.
Oh my gosh.
It ties everything in together. So I bought a bag. And then when I went back, I bought two bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first bag went pretty quickly because there was only five in the bag.
Right.
So I brought some over today to like go with the whole Louisville recent trip to kind of like share and have some.
A little theme going on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This rye is so, so good.
And I typically don't go for ryes like straight off the bat, but I bought this because it was so good.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try this with the orange chocolate.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay. And tell me how it tastes with the orange.
That's not bad.
Not as good as the white chocolate?
It's the white chocolate. I don't know what's with the white chocolate, but the white chocolate's actually a little bit better.
I wonder if it's because white chocolate isn't really a chocolate.
Maybe.
You know?
You try it with the orange.
Okay.
And tell me how you feel.
I just had taken a sip of the rye and then ate the chocolate. It tastes like Fruity Pebbles.
Because the chocolate has got like little bits of orange in it. Says it's an intense orange chocolate. It's not bad.
It's not bad, but take a sip and then eat a piece of the chocolate.
Okay.
And tell me if it tastes like Fruity Pebbles.
Oh my God, is that the power of suggestion right there?
Tastes like Fruity Pebbles. But you have to sip the rye first.
I don't know if that is the power of suggestion or not.
Or if it's just
Or if it's
fact.
True. Or if it's fact. So if you want to embark on a little experiment that we had here today, it's the intense orange lint chocolate that I brought over with the Angel's Envy rye. Do like Trisha said, have a sip of the rye and then pop a little piece of that intense orange in there and see if it's like Fruity Pebbles. I will have to say as though I like the white chocolate more.
I do too.
I do. It just has, maybe it's because I never knew white chocolate wasn't chocolate.
I didn't know that.
All right. Are you ready for a story?
I am ready.
I am going to tell you a story about the Watts family.
See, I've never heard of it. Maybe I've heard of it and I just didn't realize they were the Watts family, but I have no idea
about
this.
So the Watts family is... It's a really tragic story of murder.
Murder.
So,
I like me some murder.
Yeah. Well, this is sad. This is kind of really sad. So Chris Watts murdered his pregnant wife and two little girls.
Oh my God, is
Bella
this the guy
and Cece.
In Colorado?
It is the Colorado guy.
Oh my gosh, yes. This guy
is a douchebag.
Oh my God, yes.
So if you're interested in the entire story, there's a documentary on Netflix called American Murder, The Family Next Door.
Wow.
So you know this story.
I do. My God.
I'm glad you do because we'll have plenty of things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just going to give you the summary of the horrible event and what possibly led up to it. On the early morning of August 13th of 2018, Chris Watts strangled his wife, his pregnant wife, Shanann, loaded her onto the floor of the backseat of his truck, wrapped in a sheet, where his two little girls were sitting, and drove all of them out to a job site that he was working at. Before burying her body, Chris murdered their two little girls and dumped them into an oil tank. Now, have you seen the documentary?
I have not.
Okay, so the documentary kind of, when he describes it, he's talking about the drive out to this job site was like 45 minutes an hour. And the little girls were alive with their mother laying on the floor of the backseat of the truck. But he doesn't say in the documentary, he doesn't say that he actually strangled them. It kind of alludes to the fact that he just dumped them in this oil tank.
Alive?
I don't know. But according to the documentary, yeah, it kind of gives that feel. Later on, when you read articles and things, it kind of talks about like he strangled his kids and dumped them in the oil tank. But the documentary, like his words, he says he just put a blanket over one's head, over Bella's head, and then Cece was next. And she just said, no, daddy. And then he kind of like, but that's it. He doesn't say anything. Or if he does, they cut it out in the documentary.
There is a special place in hell for people who kill children.
So in the days following the murder, he would confess to strangling Shanann, but not to the murder of those little girls, saying that it was actually Shanann that killed them after he told her that he no longer wanted to be in the relationship. So apparently, which Shanann had some suspicion for weeks before, apparently Chris had met someone at work and began an affair with her, telling his new girlfriend that he did have two kids, but was in the process of separation from his wife. But during the trial, he ended up confessing that he did, in fact, murder his daughters. And he was sentenced to 3 life sentences without the possibility for parole at a Colorado state prison. But he was later moved to a maximum security prison in Wisconsin due to security reasons.
Because he killed children and they need to be beating his ass on the daily.
That's so funny you said that. So he now spends his 23 hours a day in lockdown. He only comes out to shower and exercise. It is said that he's haunted by the memories of his family and what he did. He is in his own psychological torment every day of his life.
Good.
Wow. So while incarceration, he found God. Of course he did, telling his mom that he is still a dad, still a son, no matter what. Now he can add servant of God to the mix.
Okay.
But apparently, God isn't the only thing that he's found while in prison. He has begun quite the correspondence with many women. So these women think that he's handsome and misunderstood and send him racy photos and letters.
What?
Which he encourages, by the way.
Oh, my God. I do not understand what is misunderstood about strangling your
pregnant
family.
Pregnant
wife and two small daughters. What's
exactly.
There is no misunderstanding.
There's no misunderstanding. Well, according to like some of the things that I've read and watched on the internet, they were pulling Shanann apart. Like the text, like she's overbearing, she's a bitch. I mean, yeah, you know.
She was probably at that point overbearing, wondering what the hell is going on. She's pregnant. She's probably hormonal because of her pregnancy, and she's got suspicions that her husband's cheating on her while she has two small children. So if you are pregnant with two small children and you think your husband is cheating on you, you're probably like, how the hell am I going to handle this? You know, exactly. What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my family? And you're either trying to figure out if it's true or what you're going to do about it or where do you go from here? And yeah, she was probably a raging lunatic at that point.
The documentary did have numerous texts between him and her. Mm-hmm. So you could hear how she was presenting herself in text messages, and you can see how he was presenting himself in these text messages. Apparently, everybody was like, oh, she's this, she's that. That's where the misunderstanding, like where certain women can think that he's misunderstood. However, though, prisoners are not allowed to send nor receive pornography. But there are no rules against suggestive photos.
Oh, my gosh.
So given that he's not popular at all in prison, as you mentioned, the letters are really the only, really only help to feed his ego in containment. And you know that this guy has obviously got some type of ego.
Right.
He's not only unpopular, but he's considered the lowest of the low on the social tier of the entire prison.
Wow.
No one wants anything to do with him. Not even the guards. They shun him. Because, of course, he killed his children. He is an outcast and one of the most hated in prison and would be in serious danger if he was allowed around other inmates. Some say that Chris has thought of filing an appeal, but he hasn't. Knowing that it probably wouldn't work anyway.
Right.
I fucking think.
Somebody needs to just accidentally take him to the wrong place.
I think from what I've read, he's in some pretty secure lockdown type situation.
They need to be like, oops, I thought this said main yard.
Oh, it does say main yard.
Oh, darn.
During
sorry.
Open time.
I didn't know that. I got that confused with isolation.
Isolation yard. So it could happen, right?
He had to exercise. I just thought it was like when everybody else was out.
Yeah.
Oops.
With heavy objects.
Oh, God. And there's no misunderstanding. Okay. So whether he was misunderstood or not doesn't justify what he did.
Like, oh, no.
You know? So making excuses that he was misunderstood doesn't change the fact that he's a stone cold killer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? So after the murders, the Watts house went into foreclosure. And even during the auction, no one wanted to bid on the property. No one. The lender kept the property on the market for a few years and was eventually purchased just recently in 2022 by the Miller family. The Miller family has two daughters and a son.
Are they young kids?
They're kind of young.
So they're eventually going to go to school and people are going to be like, you live in the murder house.
You live in the murder house, which apparently in the or something that I read, it took them a few years to actually to be able to purchase this house.
Wow.
They've been trying for a while. I mean, it is a huge house. It's a beautiful home.
Wow.
Huge. It's valued at $660,000 and they got it for $600,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So is the house that the Millers purchased haunted? If you watch the documentary, there are claims of being able to see a little girl in the bedroom. Now, there is a little bit of controversy over if this little girl is in fact a ghost or the daughter of the friend that called the police to check on Shanann when she didn't hear anything from her. However, you can find other videos on the internet of police body cam footage that shows a possible ghost girl or ghost of a girl coming down the stairs, a possible image of Shanann in the reflection of a mirror. And there's also lots of EVPs, like voices, that is kind of weird. Like you could find videos of it.
Huh.
But unfortunately, that was mostly cut out of the documentary, but you can find that footage somewhere on the internet. At one point, there was a canine team that was searching a closet in the house that heard a little girl giggling. Like the team that was searching heard this giggle. You could hear it.
But there's nobody in the house.
But there's no, because they cleared everybody out of the house. And that's part of the documentary where they said, we need everybody out of the house because we don't want to confuse the canine going in with smells. So everybody left the house. And the only people that were searching the house was the canine, the handler, and somebody filming it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did try to actually find out the source of where the giggle came from, but they couldn't find anything. So wow. It kind of makes you wonder, though, with all the tragic and horrific events that happened within the house, and it's now, just now being occupied by a family. It'll be interesting if rumors of hauntings will come out soon.
Right.
Maybe.
Wow. But he says they weren't killed in the home.
The wife was killed in the home. In the documentary, it says that she came home from a business trip at like 2 a.m.
Right.
And crawled into bed and she started rubbing his back and they ended up having sex. He says, but in the morning he woke up and he told her that he no longer wanted to be in the relationship. And of course, she's like, you're cheating on me. I knew you were cheating on me. And he says in the documentary that he just snapped. He already had it in his mind that he was going to do something. And that's what he did. He ended up strangling her. So the daughters came in and was like, is mommy okay? And he's like, oh, mommy's going to be fine. And that's when he disposed of the body, like backed his truck up to the garage, like loaded her up in the floor, put his little girls on the back seat when the mom is dead on the floor. That is sick.
Well, so he got caught.
He confessed.
He confessed. So why even kill the little girls? What was the point?
You know what? He says that in the documentary. He goes, I don't know. I don't know. But in one of the cops that were investigating and, you know, doing the interrogation, he says, I think that there's two different Chris's here. He says, I think this one Chris just wanted saw this hot young woman and wanted a new life. And he couldn't have this new life with the old attachments. But I don't understand why still murder the kids.
Right. Or even his wife, you know, I mean, there are
ways. Just get a divorce.
Right.
Well, I guess she was threatening him, saying that he's never going to see the kids again, like never going to see the kids. You know what? That's anger. You know, of course, you could go to court and you could fight for that.
Exactly. But you know what? Then he went and turned around and did the exact same thing his wife threatened him with.
Exactly.
To himself.
Exactly.
So what's the argument there? You know, she threatened to take the kids away so he'd never see them again. So you're going to kill them so you never see them again?
Idiot. I don't understand that. And I guess as soon as he did it, he called the school and said that the kids were withdrawing from school. He called a realtor to try to see about selling the house. And he called his girlfriend saying that he missed her.
Oh, my God.
This is right after that he did the thing.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting about him. Not so much. I didn't want to give so much about, you know, what he did. But, like, him now in jail, you know, he's in maximum security. But you know what? There's these women that he encourages to send these letters. And you have done a couple of stories about women who fall for these dirt bags.
Yeah, it's just
that do horrible things. And, you know, they're in jail and they're like, oh, you're so handsome. You're misunderstood. No.
Yeah, no. There's no misunderstanding about what you've done. I don't know. I think it's gross, but
I think it's really gross.
You know, the fact that he found religion and now he's...
Well, of course he's found religion, know, because that sounds good to when you want to be paroled.
Right.
Which he'll never be paroled.
Better not be.
But if he ever decides to do an appeal, which I don't know how he can possibly appeal because he flat out confessed that he killed her.
Right. And then
confessed that he killed the children.
Yeah. And has done a documentary about it.
Well, I don't think it was his documentary. I think it was just somebody did it.
He's on there confessing. He's on there for all to see.
He's on there only with the police body cam footage. And he's only on there with pictures and voice from the trial. Mm-hmm. That's it. He is not interviewed at all.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, like text messages that were provided by family and friends and just police footage, the body cam. Like the friend is frantic. Like she dropped Shanann off at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. The next morning, Shanann had an appointment at 9 a.m. a doctor's appointment. And she's like, her friend is like, hey, how's it going? Let me know what happened at the doctor. And like, as time, like a couple hours slip by, like her friend's getting more and more like, are you okay? I'm starting to get worried. I'm coming over. Because she hasn't heard anything. No, nothing. Like banging on the door. She calls the cops. The cop's like, could you just come over and check on my friend? I'm worried about her. She's got two small kids. I dropped her off last night at midnight or like 2 a.m. and I haven't heard anything from her. So I guess the friend had Shanann's mom's number and she's trying to get access inside the house. And then here comes Chris pulling up and he gets out of the truck and he like kind of like walks over and then he kind of does a little jog and then like shakes the hand of the cop. And he's like, yeah, I've been trying to, you know, get a hold of her too. I don't know where she could be. And he lets them inside the house and his like you could see like her friend is visibly concerned. Like her friend has got her hand to her head. She's pacing back and forth. She's texting everybody she can. And her husband is cool as a cucumber. Like just calm as can be. Like, oh, look, here's Shanann's phone right here on the kitchen counter. Her lifeline. So weird. And then he goes into their bedroom and he walks out kind of like a dumb walk. And he's got her wedding ring on his finger. I found her wedding ring on the nightstand beside the bed. Like just weird. And then they go to the neighbor's house and the neighbor, they look at the neighbor's video footage, security footage. And it shows Chris backing his truck up to his garage. The look on his face, Chris's face, when he sees that security footage of him, you know, just went kind of like blank, like, oh shit, I'm caught. And so Chris walks out of the house and the cop stays and talks to the neighbor. And the neighbor's like, he's acting weird. He's never fidgety and he's fidgety and he's like, he never loads anything up from the garage, but he's telling you he loads things up. He never loads things up. He's like, I don't know. He's acting weird. And the cop's like, well, you know, you have to understand that this is a lot. You know, his wife just went missing and he's like, it could be something like that. And he's the neighbor's like, yeah, I guess so. And like even the neighbor is like, something's fucked up here. Like the neighbor immediately knew like this guy's fucked up. And a few days later, Chris confesses, but then try to blame the murder of the kids on his wife, Shanann.
Oh, of course.
And then of course, in the trial, it comes out that he actually killed them as well. Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting to me, some of the like the haunted kind of side of it after the murder.
Stuff like that makes me wonder. So, you know, he didn't kill the girls in the house, so he says.
Yeah.
So how, like, if the girls, if they're hearing sounds that sound like the girls, how?
It did sound like the girls.
How does that work? You know, that's, I'm always curious about
that. Is it like
a
Beetlejuice thing where they go back to their happy place? I mean, some of the canine footage of the this person following this canine through the house, you can hear some voices on there and they're not reacting. So it kind of makes you wonder, did they pick up things? Or at one point, one of the EVPs or the voice thing on the recording said, I'm with Cece, you know, and her name was actually Cecilia, but they called her Cece. So it was a little
weird.
It's a little weird. I suggest if you're interested, you know, watch the documentary on Netflix. I found some of the canine footage that's not included in the documentary on the internet. I can't tell you what site. Just if you Google it, you'll find it. Like all the things.
I followed it when it was in the news and then, but I've never watched the documentary. So I'm going to have to watch that.
It was interesting. It was interesting. Like just seeing him, he's such a scumbag. Like he really is truly a scumbag. His wife went for like 5 weeks to South Carolina and the whole 5 weeks that he was just messing around with this new girl.
Of course.
He was doing things.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Just gave him an opportunity. So yeah, that's the Watts family ghosts.
Good story. Wow.
Yeah. It was interesting.
I'm waiting now to hear if the Miller family.
The Millers, and they just sounds like they just moved in
recently. To hear if anything comes out about any experiences they're having in their house now that they're moved in.
Yeah. It has to have been within the last 6 months that they've moved in, because that house was sat vacant for almost 4 years.
Wow. I can't believe it was 4 years. 4 years ago that happened.
I know. You hear about other more grisly things, not saying that this wasn't grisly, but you hear about other things about happening in other houses, or sometimes you don't, and those houses get sold pretty quickly. So I wonder why this particular house sat empty for so long.
Wow.
Maybe it's a smaller community and everybody's like, I don't fucking want that.
You'd have to be like a newbie in the town to not really know the history or care about the people that were in it.
Yeah. But I guess they actually lived in that community.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
And it took them, from one of the YouTube videos that I watched, it took them a few years to actually get the deal to go through to purchase the house.
Well, I mean, if this was like 4 years ago, housing prices have gone up. And if that house has actually gone down a little, they were probably getting a deal.
Said that when they first purchased the house that they paid like almost $400,000 for it. So the housing market has gone up.
It's gone up even more though in 4 years.
So. It was valued at $660,000 and they ended up getting it for $600,000. So that's $60,000.
Yeah.
I mean.
And everything's selling for so high right now.
Oh, it's crazy.
Wow.
So that is the story that I brought to you today.
Good story. Yeah. That's crazy, though.
I know. I know. You know what? No matter how unhappy you are, you know, there's ways to get out of things.
Right.
I mean, besides murder.
Right. He could have just left her. She should have just left him because, in my opinion, once a cheater, always a cheater.
She wrote him a letter saying that, you know, she always will love him forever and will always fight for her family. And, you know, she was sick at one time and then diagnosed with lupus. And I guess that's the time that Chris came into her life. So he fought for her. And I guess, you know, she in turn fought for her family. But she did a lot of social mediaing, you know, the kind of parent that kind of constantly like videos their kids and constantly videos all of the aspects of her life. She videoed him finding out that they were expecting their third child she had a camera set up and she was wearing a shirt saying, "Oops, we did it again." And so that's how she told him. She's wearing the shirt and had the camera set up. So when he walked through into the kitchen, she turned around and she's getting his reaction. Like, to me, that's like private.
Yeah.
That's kind of private. Why would you?
That kind of
video that
like, family, too. You don't want to say that your relationship isn't that good because then you've already put it out there that you think it's fabulous.
Oh, well, that's constantly was her thing. It's
my perfect little family.
Yeah. Because it was always like the perfect kids, the perfect, you know, husband, like he's perfect. But she was also kind of, you know, bitchy at times.
Well,
like,
yeah,
but still, bitchy or not, it does not give you the reason to murder somebody.
Right. Well, you know,
because you want to run off with your younger, hotter girlfriend.
I mean,
that's unattached to anything.
They'd be saying the same thing if it was the opposite, you know? Yeah. You know, she doesn't have any right to kill him because he's having an affair.
Because he's having an affair. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It goes both ways.
Oh, geez. Good story.
Thanks. You want to go watch that documentary?
Yes.
It's not that long.
Okay.
Well, let's do it. Have another cocktail.
I know. We got some chocolate left.
You don't need a lot of chocolate, by the way.
You might, especially if you like Fruity Pebbles.
Power of suggestion.
Well, you're going to have to try it again, just in case.
Until next time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, like what you hear? Leave us a review on your favorite podcast listening platform.
For more about this episode, check out our website at boozybanterwithfriends.com or connect with us on Instagram.
Thanks for listening.
Later.